For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, February the 24th, 2001. Ladies' Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mary Ann Flynn of Orange, California, is the minister of the evening.
Yeah, I see that, sometimes we take something, when we get, Chuck calls it the left foot of fellowship. You know, there's all kinds of words for it. But what may seem a closing is really an opening. You know, God gives us all kinds of opportunities, and sometimes they come very disguised. Very disguised. That's why we're supposed to hang in there. I love one thing that was happening as we were singing. Two things, really, because, again, I love that song, Holy Spirit, Follow Me. Isn't that wonderful? Again and afresh. The Lord loves freshness of everything. And we just take a fresh drink every day of His provisions and His what He's given us, the Holy Spirit and His blessings. But I was thinking about the blood, and I'd like to ask you ladies, I thought just before I began speaking, that I'd ask you, how many of you fairly regularly plead the blood? Fairly regularly plead the blood. Yeah, quite a few of you. Do you know, it's wonderful because the blood that was spilled on Calvary has never lost its power. It's still operative today, and it's powerful, and the enemy respects it, hates it, but he respects it. How many of you ever heard Brother Lester Summerall give his story of how he prayed for a little girl over in the Philippines in Manila, a little demon-possessed young lady, terribly possessed, so much so that that the manifestations of the demon would bite her. She'd have bites on her. And, let me tell you, God is real, and so is the enemy. That's why we're to shun the very appearance of evil. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's given us power over all the power of the devil. How did he do that? He did that through the blood. Hallelujah. And for you who haven't heard the story, only about one, I think, has heard the story. But as it happened, they asked him to come out. The girl, I'm kind of fuzzy on it now, although I heard him give it. And I don't know if she was out in a cave or she was someplace out in the countryside, and they asked him if she would come. Well, she was in a prison cell afterwards, but was she in a prison cell then? Because what he kind of talked about was kind of, well, it doesn't really matter. She was in a place where they had protection there from the public and everything. She was in a cell somewhere. And so he went to see her. She'd been asked to please go see her, so he said, I did. And he said, I'll come back tomorrow, and I'll pray for you. And so he went home, and the next day, when he got there to pray for her, there was all the news media. This was many years ago, but the paper and the radio and just reporters, everybody was there to see this event. And so he went into her there, and whenever he was going to pray for her, and he put his hand on her. And whenever he did, the demon screamed out. I'm not talking about that tonight, but it screamed out and said, don't, you're burning me, you're burning me. Take your hand off. And that's the power that this man had. This is the walk that Brother Lester Summerall had with the Lord. And the demon left out of her for a little bit, and she could see where he was, even over there. And as he was praying and ministering to her, the demon began to speak out. And he said, Brother Summerall said that the demon began to curse the Father. just saying all kinds of terrible things about the Father. Just terrible things, Brother Summerall said. And he says, whenever he finished, I began to lift up the holiness and the purity of the Father and the beauty of the Father. And I'm sitting there with tears running down as he tells it. And how holy the Father is, and majestic, and perfect, and pure. And he said, when I finished, the demon began to curse the Lord Jesus, and just terrible things that he said about him. Some of the just terrible things. And he said, then I began to lift up the Lord Jesus, and how perfect and pure, sinless Lamb of God he was. And I'm kind of cutting it a little short. And he said, when I finished, he began to curse the Holy Spirit. Just saying awful things. And he said, I began to lift up the purity of the Spirit of God and how wonderful he was and how he helps us and how he comes to our aid and how wonderful and perfect and pure and holy. But he said, something happened that really shocked me. He said, after he did that, after I finished saying that, he said, he began to curse and talk about the blood of Jesus as though it were a man. He said, I was so surprised, but just the way he came against the blood, the things that he said against the blood. I tell you, the enemy hates the blood. He respects it. He has to honor it. I'm thinking of something else right now I didn't intend to tell, but how many of you have read Billy Brim's book? Billy Brim has written a wonderful book called Blood and the Glory. And one story is told in that book about a family of about four children, husband and wife, and they had gone into Canada for services. And the father got concerned about his four children because they lived out on a farm. And they had been finding, all the area around about, everyone had been finding rabid foxes. And the more he thought on that, he thought, you know, he was concerned about his children. And so he began to place the blood. He began to place the blood all around his property. You know, I plead the blood all over my property right now, all around. He could just envision it. And he pled the blood over the, so that the blood would encircle his property. And after a little while, his brother, who knew his concerns, wrote to him and said, you know, I decided to go out and just take a look and just walk the perimeter of your property and see how everything was going. And he said, I found five dead rabid foxes on the perimeter of your land, but they couldn't cross over the blood. And I wouldn't want to leave this retreat without us once again realizing the power that's in the blood. It saved us. It cleansed us. It changed us. It took Jesus down into the innermost belly of the hell of hell. We know that, where he confronted the enemy, hallelujah, on his own. He bearded the lion in his den, hallelujah. And the first things that he says whenever he comes back to the disciples that you can read is, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. Love the blood for what it has done, for who gave it, hallelujah. And respect and honor the power of the blood like the enemy does. And I came across this the other day, this scripture here in Zechariah, the 9th chapter. And I'd like to read the 10th verse first, but I'm wanting to get to the 11th and 12th, just for your notes. We're not going to dwell on this. But the Lord is speaking, and he says, and I will cut off, I'm reading from the Amplified, Zechariah. That's right down there after Zephaniah. Then there's Haggai, and then Zechariah, and then right near Malachi, right near the very end of the Old Testament. Verse 10, and I will cut off and exterminate the war chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, hallelujah, and he shall speak the word, and peace shall come to the nations, and his dominion shall be from the Mediterranean Sea to any other sea. I thought of that whenever you said, you know, as far as you can see is he, and then it is eternity. It just goes on and on. The galaxy never ends. Eternity never ends. From the Mediterranean Sea to any other sea, and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. As for you also, because of and for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed with sprinkled covenant blood. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, we're in covenant with the Lord. And the Lord took this most powerful thing, the blood, and sealed the covenant with us. We need to walk and talk and act like covenant people. David did. You know, all of those children of Israel there, all of those people were covenant people. All that army, they were under the covenant. You know, the covenant that was to be the covenant. Hallelujah. Covenant people with God. But there was one who knew it. David. And you know, I see that giant out there, and he's just shouting all kinds of taunts at that army. And even Saul, everyone is off over there saying, what are we going to do? This giant, this great man, and look how big his spear is, and he's a mighty man. What are we going to do? And he's challenged us. Here comes young David. What's happening? What's going on? Oh, well, this is what's happened. Well, okay, I'll go do it. You see, he knew he was in the covenant. He'd been out talking with the Lord. He'd been out writing psalms. How many of you have written a psalm lately? Oh, here's one. You're right up to date, up to speed. Some others. Here's another one. I think I saw a little hand fly up. One time, Chuck and I were in Dallas, and Chuck was teaching on psalms at Christ for the Nations, and he had them all write a psalm. You can't believe what came out of those psalms. Chuck and I sat down together and read those psalms. It was beautiful. And they used kind of the language that David used. Oh, Lord, there is a chain about my neck. Lord, how will... And it was wonderful. And they'd come, you know, but the Lord will hear me. The Lord will lift it. The Lord will deliver me. Hallelujah. We're covenant people. David was. He didn't say, how dare you come against us and intimidate. He says, how dare you come against the armies of the living God? You made a mistake there, buddy. We're under covenant. Hallelujah. It only took one little stone to bring that great big man down. Hallelujah. We need to know. And so this says, for the sake of the covenant of the Lord with his people, which was sealed with sprinkled covenant blood, I have released and sent forth your imprisoned people, out of the waterless pit. I tell you, if you come to this retreat, I don't think anything would be hanging on by now. You feel like you've fallen into a pit, and it's even a waterless pit. He says, it's come to set the imprisoned people free. There's lots of prisons, aren't there, ladies? All kinds of prisons. I like what Sister Ruth said this morning. You know, I call it the three P's, you know. You get a promise from the Lord. How many of you just read in the Word, or you've gotten a spoken word, or even a song, suddenly a promise. You just received a promise from the Lord. Oh, God's going to do that. God's going to take care of that. You know, God's going to answer. God's going to heal. I just feel it. I just, thank you, Lord. You got the promise, kind of like Joseph did. And then, you know, for a little while, sometime God brings it to pass right then. But if he doesn't, then what do we do about it? We might see the pit, Potiphar's house, the prison. You can call that little P, all kinds of things. I noticed that it doesn't seem to me like that Joseph ever lost sight of the promise of the Lord. Never changed. He was always looked up to, prospered. The Bible says he prospered in prison. It says the Lord was with him in prison, and he prospered in prison. Well, that just sounds so wonderful. And it is wonderful, of course. But you know, Psalms tells us that his feet, his hands were hurt in the iron. They were hurt in the shackles. They hurt. He did some suffering too. You know, we look at the good side and the power that he had and the favor that he had with Potiphar, the favor that he had down with the jailer. In Potiphar's house, he was in charge. I'll tell you, the child of God should always be in charge. Even if you're going through a hard place that you'd like to get out of, some kind of a prison or a little pit place or something like that. You know, the Lord wants us to prosper in that place. And Joseph always prospered and ruled over those around about him. Then he gets down in the prison. It says the head of the prison just gave all the matters over to Joseph. Hallelujah. You know, Psalms also said that his soul went into the iron. You know what that means? It hurt to sit there in that and to look at the shackles and to know how he got there. You can imagine. The enemy tried to have a heyday there. Soul went into the iron. It wasn't always pleasant, but you know what? He's apparently never lost sight of the Lord. And whenever somebody else was in need, that's why it's so important to agree, to pray for one another, to bless one another. And you don't have to be on top of the world to pray for someone or to bless someone. You don't have to be on top of the world. Was Joseph, whenever he looked at the baker and the butler and said, "What's your problem? Tell me. Let me see if I can help you." You know, "I'm in prison, sure, but what's your problem?" And he interpreted the dreams. Hallelujah. And that interpretation, that reaching out to someone in need while he's in need, brought him out of prison. Hallelujah. Let's be about our Father's business. Oh, my mind just goes in a whirl. I don't want to get too far off of what I want to speak on today, but I'll tell you, you know, sometimes we go through captivities like they talk about in Jeremiah 29. What does he say? He says, "Say to the captives, you know, plant gardens and build houses." And he says, "And increase there." Ooh, I've forgotten the words exactly. "And increase there and do not be diminished." That's what sticks in my mind. While you're in this place, and he says, "Oh, I know I'm going to bring you out of captivity. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good, not evil. But while you're in this situation, I want you to increase there." Oh, it's another word. Multiply there. "And do not be diminished." When you go through something, and you know, it's the hardest thing. I know. Sometimes we go through something that's really, really hard. And God says, but in that, you know, whenever your heart is heavy and you don't see any way out, that's the time to get your arm up in the air and say, "I bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You're doing me good. You're going to bring me out. Lord, I'm going to be changed a little more like you, Lord, because, Lord, my trust is in you. My faith is in you." And, you know, you're in a little space of time. But if you can grow and multiply in that little space of time and not let it diminish you. You know, I'm from Texas, and I remember hearing a lot of saying, this saying a lot, you know, I'm just pulled so thin. You know, I'm just so thin. You know, in other words, you know, my nerves are down, my strength is down, everything is just thin. You know, the Bible says, multiply there and do not be diminished. Thank the Lord. So there's a multiplying wherever we go. Okay, last night we know what we talked on. We talked on the difference between the mind, our thinking, and our heart. And I wanted to take it home because there's a lot of things going to depend on the condition of our heart. A lot of wonderful things. And this is what I wanted to have for you by tonight. And so let's go to Psalms 1, just briefly. First Psalm. The delight of the man, we'll begin with verse 2. The delight of the man who has his eyes on the Lord and shuns the very appearance of evil. The delight of this man and his desire are in the law of the Lord. And on the law of the Lord, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, this man habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Now, the Lord gave me another scripture that I meant to bring out last night, and that is, you know, it says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are winsome and gracious and of a good report, think on these things. You know why we think on them? Because whenever we ponder on them long enough, they get down in our heart. And our heart becomes purified. Our heart becomes strong. And then that which comes out of our mouth blesses others. I believe healing can come out of our mouth. How many of you believe that? Healing for others. Words of wisdom. Words of knowledge. Prophetic words. Because what we've been watching, what we're meditating on, it says all of these wonderful things, think on them. Because you know what? Then all these grace and mercy, peace, the wonderful works of the Lord, whenever you get them down there, then pretty soon you believe all of it. See, that's the thing. When you're meditating on the negative things and it gets down in your heart, then you see, then you begin to believe it. It begins to affect you. So whatsoever things are winsome and gracious. Well, now it says this man here, he habitually meditates on the Word of God. Now that's what it means. When it says the law, it means the Word of God. That is the law of God. By day and by night. Now look what it says for him. And he shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended, that means. Not just planted, you know, and then left to grow by itself and get along by hook or by crook. But it's planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth his fruit in its season. We have different seasons in our life. Did you know that? Oh, as surely as there are seasons to a tree. In fact, I could teach on the seasons, and for the Bible says, like the life of a tree, so are the days of my people. And trees go through seasons and cycles. But it says that we're tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth our fruit in its season. And it says, the leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. That's what that means. That's what prosper means, come to maturity. I've talked to so many ladies, and you know, they'll start planning on something, and they'll head towards something, and perhaps it's teaching, or perhaps it's taking music, because they're going to do this for the Lord, and they're going to teach for the Lord, or they're going to be a minister for the Lord, or they're going to be used in some way, and you know, somehow or other, it gets down the road a piece, and it hasn't happened. It's kind of like fruit. And the Lord has shown me this so clearly. You know, the Scripture tells us that the fruit won't fall before its time. In other words, it'll go ahead and reap the ripeness. And so many times I've seen ladies that it seemed like the fruit before, you know, here it comes, and all the hope is there, and it gets to be about this size, and then what happens? It falls off the tree. You don't get to do it. But the Bible says that the one who is in the Word of God and is meditating on it so that it gets down into the heart and into the spirit, begins to affect your actions. It says that this one, his leaf will not fade or wither, he will not come to nothing, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Now, we've all heard about strongholds. In fact, I wrote it down so I'd remember each one. We've all heard about strongholds and what a stronghold is. And there can be strongholds in our marriage, and we don't quite really realize that. Strongholds in a group. Strongholds at work. And so we understand strongholds, and if you don't have the process that produces a stronghold, here it is for your pencil and paper. A stronghold begins with... Can anybody guess what a stronghold that can come between you and your children can come into your greater family? Into your home, between you and your husband, between you and friends, into groups, on the job, many different places. You know what it begins with? Yep. Did everybody hear that? It begins with a thought. That's what a stronghold begins with. Then the next, you progress from the thought to entertaining the thought. Isn't that right? Didn't that what happened to Eve? Came a thought, she could have pushed it out of her way and went merrily on her way. Instead, it's entertain. You mull it over. You think about it. And it's translated into an attitude. Everybody ever met anyone with an attitude? Attitudes are powerful. They can practically choke you off. Just an attitude. You didn't open your mouth, but you had an attitude. You can walk into a group with an attitude, a group that's kind of talking and happy, and if you've got a bad attitude, you walk in there, all of a sudden everybody's kind of, you know, wondering what's wrong. The attitude is powerful, and it becomes an attitude, and after the attitude, it becomes an action. It becomes an action. You're acting on it in some way, this thought that you've entertained, and you've had the attitude, now it's an action. Then it becomes a habit. You're always fussing. You're always fighting with your mate. There's always something between you and the children, always something that you should have kept your mouth quiet about. Or am I the only one that looks back and said, if I could adjust? And then in the end, it becomes from a habit. It goes into a stronghold. You know, I was thinking about this one day, and I thought, you know, we know what an attitude is. We know what all these things are and how they form a stronghold. But I thought, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be forming positive strongholds. Think about it. Meditating on the Lord, meditating on His goodness and His graciousness, meditating on how can we be a benefit and a blessing to someone. Lord, just open up a way. I'd love to be a benefit and a blessing to them. Lord, whenever they come, they look sad, and, you know, I want to do more than just shake their hand. Just give me words to say. You're just meditating on it, and you're thinking about it, or how can I fix this, you know. And you're meditating. Pretty soon, what happens? You've been entertaining it. That's the second. And pretty soon, it becomes an attitude. Hallelujah. You can walk into a crowd that's kind of sitting around, and you've got this, and pretty soon your attitude is prevailing. Everybody's happy. Everybody's talking. Everybody loves the Lord. You see what I'm saying? And from the attitude then, it's translated into an action. Hallelujah. The Lord gives you just exactly the words to say. The Lord begins to help you. You know, people will come up to you and ask you, well, you've changed. What has happened? You know, did you shave your mustache or something? What have you done? Hallelujah. Or you'll go into a store, and I know some of you have had that happen, and somebody will say, are you a Christian? You had that happen? You know, you're just there, and you're just acting it out without even realizing. And then it becomes a habit. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Just to be in the habit of doing good, thinking good, loving someone, not taking offense. You know, if you get into the love chapter, it says, don't. In other words, don't take offense, let it drop, just forget it. In fact, it's a serious thing whenever someone always takes offense. And then it becomes a stronghold in your life. People can depend. They can depend. When they call you, you're going to encourage them. You're going to pray for them. They have respect for your words because they've been observing your life. And your life is always there lifting up the Lord, always ready to help in any way you can. It's a stronghold. So I think we need the positive strongholds and not allow any room. The Bible says, do not give place to the devil. Don't move over and say, oh, okay, here. It says, don't give place to the devil. So that means if it says don't give place to the devil, does that mean we can? Yes, it does. And so, ladies, we're not ever going to give place to the devil again, are we? We're going to watch that we develop positive strongholds. All right, because, ladies, do you realize, and whether you realize it or not, we are always building. We're always building. And as proof of that, turn to Proverbs 24th chapter. You know what that is? It's a good one. Proverbs 24. We'll begin at verse 3. We're only going to read about a line for a moment. And reading from the Amplified, it says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home. And now my version, a job, a marriage, relationship with your children, relationships with others, the planning of your life. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom, You're building all these things. I want to stop there. I could go on, but I want to stop there for just a moment. Oh, well, maybe I'll give you the meaning of wisdom. There's a word for wisdom, chokma, C-H-O-K-M-A-H, chokma. And it means that wisdom embodies all of life's experiences. All of life's, everything about life, wisdom embodies it. And then there is the wisdom that is from above. There's not just the gnosis and the things that you glean through life and the things the Lord teaches you. That's the epignosis, wisdom from above. And maybe we should just go ahead and do this, and then I'll jump into the other. Through skillful and godly wisdom, chokmah, is a house, a life, a home, is what I mentioned, built, So we're building all of these things, whether we realize it or not, we're building. And, of course, we might just bear in mind that we can be building all of these things on sand. You know, have you ever known of anybody who built their business on things that were not exactly upright, were not exactly fair, were not exactly honest? And, man, that the business looked wonderful. It looked good. It was prospering, just like the houses. The wise man, the man full of wisdom, built his house, but he built it. Everything he built was solid. He was wise. He counted the cost. He saw what was the way to do, the way to act. You see, I'm trying to intermix. And so he builds on something secure and strong, and the foolish man builds, and he builds the same kind of house, beautiful, lovely, I tell you, those houses, probably you couldn't tell the difference between them. Only when the storm hit, then did the difference manifest itself. And if you're building anything that is a little shaky, that's not strictly on Christ Jesus the Lord, if you're having to hold it up a little bit yourself, you know, and do that, let me tell you what, it may look great and it may hold up for a while, but when the storm comes, there will be a difference between the house, the life, the marriage, the relationship, the business, all of that. That will stand. It will still be there. The storm will come, but it will still be there. The other, the Bible says, will fall, and great will be the fall of it. We are building, whether we like it or not, we're building, and we better build right the first time around, get a good, solid foundation started. No matter what it costs you, if it costs you a prayer, if it costs you a little bit of ego, whatever it is that you can keep a good foundation under what you're doing, under what you're building in your life, under relationships, in your home, make sure that that's always on a good, solid foundation and not held together by Band-Aids. Okay? Because it tells us through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, all of these built, and by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. By what? Listen, you want a good, sound, solid foundation to your life, to the things that you do? It says, by understanding. Well, what does understanding mean? Well, I looked it up. The word is taboon, T-A-B-U-U-N. And do you know what it means? It means the act of wisdom. You have wisdom, but you know what you've got to have then to have it built and established on a firm and sure foundation? You've got to have understanding. Wisdom and understanding work together. There's wisdom, and then there's the act of wisdom. And I thought about that for a little while, and I thought, how can I explain that? And then I thought of my husband. And he'll say, I'm going to run down to the lake and do some fishing. There's a city aquifer or something, whatever you call it, but it's not too terribly far from us. And he'll go and just park the car and just stand there. And I'll say, now, Chuck, you know what? It might turn colder and you might stay late. And you really ought to take a jacket. And, you know, in fact, sometimes I say, it would be wisdom to take a jacket, a good warm jacket, you know, and he's feeling nice and warm. So, well, I don't think so. And I say, well, really, you should. It would be wisdom to just take it and have it there in case you needed it. And he'd say, I know, but I just don't think so. You know, he's halfway out to the car, so he doesn't want to come back. And so he goes without the jacket, you know, and then it rains and it turns terribly cold, and he comes back like this, you know. You know what? He didn't act on wisdom. He had the word of wisdom, but he didn't act on it. And don't you think I told him? Oh, if Chuck was here, he would really speak up. He'd say, my wife doesn't have to say a word. I got an attitude like, uh-huh. Told you so, only I don't say it. I just attitude it out, you know. Remember me when you pray, when I'm gone. You know, it's what good does it do if you have wisdom and you don't act on it? You don't release it, what you know to do. And here is wisdom in the Word of God, and do we act on it or not?
Because if you don't act on it, it says, by understanding, it is established on a firm and sure foundation. You ought to look up established. Do you know what established means? Established, the word for established is kuan, K-U-A-N, kuan. You know what that kuan, that original word means? It means to make reality, to make sure, to bring about, to form what you desire. When you have wisdom from the Word of God and you act on it, those things become formed. They become real. There they are. Hallelujah. There it is. You know, I try to give examples. For instance, you know, I've been talking and talking to that son of mine, and, you know, I just can't seem to get through, and now I just don't talk at all, and, you know, and then pretty soon you get a little bit of wisdom up there, and you think, you know, I ought to just accept him like he is, love him, and act like he's just loving God with all his heart and serving God and doing everything right. Well, that's all well and good, but you got to do it then. You know, whenever he's the most unlovely or the most distant. I'm telling my life story here. And then you act on it. And pretty soon, your son is running out the front. Oh, you're standing at the front door and you're saying, wait a minute, honey. Lord, bless this child. You love this child and he loves you. And Lord, just go with him now and cover him with the blood and keep him protected and give him favor as he goes to work. I've been there and done that. And pretty soon one day, my son was running out the door. He was almost late. And, you know, and so as he was running, I got to the front door and I saw him. And as he got out to the entry, he says, oh, and Mommy says, I have favor and I'm protected by the Lord. You got to act on it and then you see it with your eye. You see what I'm saying? Then it's formed. It becomes real. And I'm just so happy to say our son is so loving and so kind and just... I told him something the other day, some little something. Well, praise the Lord. He's just thrilled with the Lord. But you know, you quit trying to reason with him. The one thing that I can say that I didn't do is preach at him. Preach at him. But I used to reason with him something fierce. And then I got to realizing just treating at how you really envision him, how you really want him to be. Do you see what I'm saying? And this works not just with your son. It can work in every area. It can work. And you just look for ways. You look for ways that it'll be established, for ways to act on the wisdom and the knowledge that God gives you. Okay, now the next step is the next verse. It says it's established on a good and sound foundation. And by knowledge, see, there's a progression here. So I'm taking time with this. And by knowledge, and that word knowledge is diathanim, D-A-A-T-H-U-N-N-I-M, diathanim. And what it means is, that means discernment, and it embodies and shows man's right relationship with God. In other words, you're in right relationship with the Lord. And this is knowledge whenever you come into right relationship with the Lord. And knowledge encompasses discernment. There's another thing that it encompasses that just doesn't come to me right at the moment. But you can look it up. You could look it up. I love to go with Zodiacs because he'll have it right there in the Word. Then you turn to the back and you find the actual meaning of the Greek word, and it's just or the Hebrew, depending on which testament that you're in. And so it says, and by knowledge, see, you've gone through wisdom, you have acted on wisdom, understanding. It's established now, and see, the scripture picks it up now. And by knowledge or discernment, and the right relationship between God and man, that's one of the meanings, shall the chambers, what you've been building, what you want to build, shall the chambers of its every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Isn't that wonderful? What you're building, the chambers of its every area will be filled with all pleasant and precious
riches. Hallelujah. A wise man. The next verse goes on. A wise man is strong and better than a strong man. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. Okay, a wise man is strong and better than a strong man. And now he jumps all the way to knowledge, increases. That means the chambers of its every area just keeps on increasing, keeps on, whenever it's drained out, it just keeps on being refilled. Knowledge increases and strengthens its power. Praise God. So we need, how many of you want wisdom? The wisdom that you gain through the years, it's sad if we become older and we haven't gained some wisdom of, you know, where not to go, you know, in a conversation. What not to touch, you know. You know, what to act on, what not to act on, you know. But let me tell you what, we who would have wisdom, I want to give you a verse. This verse is a powerful verse from James 3:17. And it tells us the wisdom from above is first of all pure. This is why we took time last night. We're preparing for this. You want wisdom? You want to build and see it accomplished? See it come to full fruition? Well, I'm telling you, wisdom is first of all pure. That means you're watching your thoughts. You're watching what you read. You're watching what you watch. It's first of all pure. It's undefiled. Then it's peace-loving. It's courteous. Wisdom from above is considerate and gentle. It is willing to yield to reason. Wisdom from above is full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward. Wisdom from above is impartial and unfeigned. It's free from doubts. It's free from wavering. It's free from insincerity. That's the fullest meaning of that. I'll go over it one more time if some of you looked like you were trying to take notes and follow. It's, first of all, it's pure. It's undefiled. Then it's peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted, straightforward, impartial, unfeigned, no pretense, and free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. Let's quickly turn over to the book of Joshua, the second chapter. That's about Rahab and the two spies. You know what we find when we go over to the second chapter, if we jump over to the 11th verse, we find Rahab there in Jericho. We find this, we'll call her heathen lady, Jerichoite. We find her saying, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath." You know why she's saying that? In fact, did you know that statement? That statement made her sins all forgiven, made her justified, and made her the mother of Boaz. The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. But now, what brought her to that point? Let me tell you what. I know that whenever the children of Israel were getting closer and closer to her city, I mean, long before they marched around Jericho. We know about that. But long before they marched around and threatened her city, she'd been hearing reports about the children of Israel and their God who goes with them all the time, just like everybody else who lived in Jericho. And she got to thinking, "We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." I got to thinking about that. Think about a God that can do that. And our little God sitting over there on the couch can't do anything but just sit there, get dusted once in a while. That's my version. "How the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the east side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." When we heard it, she talked about everybody now. "When we heard it, our hearts melted. Neither did spirit or courage remain anymore in any man because of you.
Now, I think she might have just made a little mistake here without meaning to or knowing it. She's just saying we were all realizing what we were up against. What she doesn't say, but I'd been thinking about it. I had meditated on the fact that this must be the true God so much that it got down into my heart. It finally left my mind and got down in my heart. And I made a decision. Sounds to me like she was pretty strong. She wasn't too melty then. And here comes the two spies, and what does she do? She sees them there, and she says, come with me. I want to hide you. See, she had wisdom. Wisdom enough to know who the true God is. But what does she have besides wisdom? She acted on it. She could have just said, we're in for trouble now. We don't stand a chance against the Israelites like all of the rest of them in Jericho did. Isn't that what they thought? Their hearts melted? Terror came over them? None of them acted on the fact that they knew what was going to happen, but she thought about it. And all of a sudden, look at this opportunity that comes. It took plenty of strength for her to take those spies and hide them in her city whenever there was an army out there against her city. I call that great wisdom. And she acted on it. And it was established for her. It was formed. It became a reality. Hallelujah. As for God. And even the book of Hebrews talks about Rahab the harlot didn't perish with all of the rest in Jericho because she hid the spies. Hallelujah. She'd been meditating and thinking about it. And then she had the opportunity to act on it. And, you know, she didn't say, oh, I better not. I don't know. Let's see. And, you know, and hesitate till the moment is lost. She knew what to do. She'd already had it in her mind. It was done in her heart. And she acted on it. And it saved her life. Made her so bold. Whenever she said to them, she says, now, I want to give you a charge. And see, it was the type of charge that made the men absolutely have to respond to her. It tied them up, so to speak. And she said, I want you to save me alive. And my father and my mother, my six brothers and their wives and kids, and, oh, I've got some cousins. They said, just get them all in your house, honey. Just do what you want to do. Just make sure they're in your house. Hallelujah. Carte blanche. Praise God. And they were bound. What do? They don't go back saying, we're ready to take the land. Everybody's scared. They go back and they say, we've got to make sure nothing happens to Rahab. Hallelujah. Because she had wisdom. It got from her mind. Everybody else had it in their mind. They said, how can we escape? Well, maybe we'll win. No. No, she says, as for God, He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Above heaven. Down and below the earth. He's God everywhere. He must be the true God. That's what she's saying. He's the true God. Well, see, she might not have known it exactly like we're talking about it, but she accepted Him. And she's brought right along the bloodline. Hallelujah. She and Salmon have Boaz, and Boaz has... And isn't it interesting? It doesn't give all of their wives, but it comes to Rahab, and it says, and Salmon had Boaz... Boaz, and Boaz's mother was Rahab. And Boaz had Obed, and Obed's mother was Ruth, the Moabitess. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acted on it. I tell you what, there's one thing to know it, there's another thing to act on it. Hallelujah. Get it out of your minds and down in your hearts. Where it will do some good and where it will produce action. So where it will be anointed. Praise God. God, Daniel purposed in his heart. I'm not trying to take you all over the map, but, you know, just look at Daniel. What does he do? He purposes. Where does he purpose? He doesn't think, you know, I shouldn't be eating like this. This is awful. You know, pass another plate. We'll all have a chance to repent in a little while. But, you know, he thought, and I'm sure Daniel thought a lot about it. Look what's happening here. You know, look, you know, we're just slipping a little further away and a little further away from the precepts that we know pleases God. We can't do that. And so what does he do? He must have thought about it quite a bit because he had a plan of action. So see, it got down in his heart. It gave him boldness. And he sought to be able to eat the way that was right and pleased the Lord. Well, I can't do that for you. Why, y'all will get skinny and gant and look terrible and pathetic, and it'll cost me my job or my head. They said, well, then let's do it this way. See, what a peaceable creature. You know what? Whenever you're looking out for the Lord, it just makes you peaceable. You're able to be reasonable. And Daniel said, well, why don't we do this then? I see you're so worried. I'm not going to bully this through then. Let's just do it this way. Give us 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, eating the way that the Lord wants us to eat, that which pleases the Lord. And, you know, then let's judge at the end of the 10 days. That way it'll be all right. Oh, okay, we'll do that. I can go along with that. Hallelujah. Look at the wisdom. And so they did. We know the story. The Bible tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart. See, he thought about it. He says, you know, there's got to be a way out of this. We've got to be able to please him first. And he purposed in his heart, we're not going to do this. We're not going to defile it. There's a way out. God's going to help us to know. And he did. Hallelujah. And it's recorded forever and ever and ever and ever in God's Word. Because I'll tell you what, the Word of God declares that if heaven were to be no more, just go, and there is no more earth at all. And if the heavens above were just gone and there were no more heavens, here would be the Word of God just going on. It would be there as if there were a heaven, as if there were an earth. His Word will never pass away. Hallelujah. His Word is sure. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 6:22, you'll want this, you'll like this. I'm reading from the Amplified. Proverbs 22. This is the essential of Proverbs 22. When you go, the Word shall lead you. You know, you go out and get in the car, go to someone's house to minister, go someplace. It says, when you go, the Word will lead you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It says, when you sleep, it shall keep you. It shall keep you. How many of you believe that? We're not to have terror or anything at night, whenever, or worry or fear. It says, just know this. You've been in the Word. Now, when you go to sleep, the Word's going to keep you. That makes me feel good. And then it goes on to say, and when you waken, it shall talk with you. Isn't that delicious? That's wonderful. You wake up. I told you what the Lord said to me the other day. And of course, He is the Word. You know, He told me exactly the solution so that I could come here this weekend. You know, before my eyes opened, as they were opening, He had spoken a word to me. I woke up and He talked with me. He wants to do that. In fact, I think whenever we wake up, both arms ought to go up and just give the Lord a big hug around His neck. And tell Him, thank you for the night. I believe He'll begin to fill our minds. Pretty soon we'll think of a scripture for that. And pretty soon the tears will be coming down and the Word is talking with us. And just blessing us. Hallelujah. When you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. When you waken, it'll talk with you. That's what the Word says. Praise God. And the Word begins. And it's first of all pure, then it's peaceable. And so in order to operate in the kind of wisdom, oh, I could go on and on and just, you know, just, but I wanted to get these things out because I'm going to change it a little bit tomorrow morning. But I believe that God's given us the map now of how to be victorious, how to have wisdom. What is wisdom? Discernment. It's understanding. That's one of the meanings of knowledge. By knowledge is the chamber of its every area, filled with all precious, and valuable giftings. Hallelujah. Let's just say, Lord, I want to operate in that wisdom right now. Lord, just begin to say, Father, I'm going to act on the wisdom that you give me, Lord. I thank you, Father, that I can fill my heart with things that will reach out and please you. Lord, will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. Then you will make a way because I'm in your Word. Lord, your Word is pure. It's holy. We thank you for it, Lord. Make me pure. Just right now, say, Lord, just make me pure that I may have that wisdom. The wisdom that's natural and the wisdom that's from above. I want to operate in it.
I want to act on it in understanding. I call understanding my sister. I do not let her go. And Father, we thank you for it now, Lord. And we really mean it. Let's just praise him now and say, thank you, Lord, for your strength and for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that we can build on a sure foundation, Lord. And you might just talk to the Lord for a minute and say, Lord, if I've been building in such a way that's been on my own strength, on the power of my own words, Lord, forgive me. Let me build, Father, in the way that pleases you. Lord, you be the foundation. While our heads are bowed, I know a wife that the way that she got things straightened out was to sit and have all-night sessions fussing with her husband. Now, I know that's radical, but this is a fact. And, you know, she kind of held things together that way. She just threatened and she did all kinds of things. But, you know, there came an ending to it. And it all washed away, just like when the storms come. You know, just check and say, Lord, what the things pertaining to my life, how have I built? And if you see that you've really not built on what is a good, solid foundation, then just say, Lord, right now, let the foundation start that's sure and firm, that will withstand storms that may come later in life. Lord, I want it to withstand every storm. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just talk to the Lord a little bit. Lord, I want to build that house by wisdom, by understanding. I want it to be established. The work of my hands, Lord, I want it to be established so that it will be formed and I can see it come to full fruition, so that I can see it come to pass, Lord. And then, Father, the knowledge that's produced, Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's every chambers will be filled with all of the good and all of the precious things that I need, things that are good and precious to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you now that you're strengthened. I feel the strength of the Lord as you're praying. I feel his strength. What you're asking him to do is so much in his will that he wants to do it. See, you're not asking him to do anything that he doesn't want to do. He wants to do it. As I close, I want to encourage you, ladies. You know, the Bible says, cast your bread there in Ecclesiastes 11. It says, cast your bread on the waters. Well, what do you mean by bread? You know, how do I cast my bread on the waters? If somebody needs forgiveness, just cast it. Just forgive and drop it. If somebody needs mercy or time or some love or some attention, funds, money. You know, don't examine it to death. It's a need. It's been presented. Just do it. I think it'd be wonderful if some of you gave Brother Sister Miller I used to call it a green handshake, but I don't quite remember all the colors of checks. But I think it'd be good to just do that and say for the retreat grounds, to kind of lift a little pressure and a little load off it. Just cast it, you know. Don't analyze it. Cast your bread, whatever it is that's needed by another brother, another sister, another little one of the Lord. Cast your bread on the waters, because you know what? After many days, it'll come back. It will come back. What you cast on the waters, do you know, comes back. That's kindness, and if they add a little jam, that's loving kindness. Praise God. And then it goes on to say, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. There's some things that are natural. And then verse 4, it says, he who observes the wind, he who just analyzes it, and waits for all conditions to be favorable. Well, I would, if that race would have come through. Or I would, you know, if they'd just tell me how wrong they were. You know what I'm saying? You're waiting for all conditions to be favorable. And the Bible says, he who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow. And he who regards the clouds, that word regards means to see just with your natural intellect.
That means with your intellect, not with the help of his epignosis, his wisdom from above. Just with your own wisdom. He who regards the clouds. Oh, well, I would do it, but look, things just aren't right. The person, you know, maybe another time would be better to talk to that person and just you know, let them pour their heart out, or to give to the need, or to what appears to be something that would be a blessing. You know, this is just not the right timing yet. Well, you know, or I was going to and they walked right past me. You know what I'm saying? It says, you will not, the person who regards, analyzes it, will not reap. You got to sow to reap. So I'm telling you, whatever it is, cast it on the waters. What's waters? People are denoted as waters throughout the scriptures. We know that. Cast it on the waters. It will come back. Hallelujah. We're not going to operate, ladies. Let's just say it to God. We're not going to operate just in the natural realm. Because we're spiritual beings. We're going to act like it from this day forward. In Jesus' name. I'm going to be all you want me to be. Thank you, Lord. Do we know that chorus, Lord, prepare me? I think this is a good time. This is a good time to just sing out to the Lord. Does our sister who plays know that? Praise the Lord. Maybe in C or D, not too terribly high for me. Let's make this a petition to the Lord. That's what he's been doing at this conference, preparing you to be a sanctuary. Hallelujah, every one of you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.